Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. The Museum of Wisconsin Art has a brand new home as of this weekend. They're celebrating their grand opening with an exhibit, well, several exhibits. One I'm particularly interested in, contemporary glass from artists all over the state. The Museum of Wisconsin Art, one of our guests, Lori Winters, says, is Wisconsin's only regional art museum, and it's the primary venue nationally for the exhibition of historic and contemporary Wisconsin art. Lori Winters is with us. Over the years, Lori has been one of our favorite guests, and she has done so many extraordinary things for art, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally and internationally. She is now executive director, CEO of the Museum of Wisconsin Art. For 15 years, she worked at the Milwaukee Art Museum, as she most recently was director of exhibitions and publications, and she brought some extraordinary exhibits to the museum, the Leonardo da Vinci and the Splendor of Poland. She brought the fabulous Chinese Art Museum to Milwaukee and many, many other wonderful exhibits. She has also done this international consortium, which we'll talk to her about, because I don't think I've seen her since all these, you know, psychologists and art museum directors and artists got together in Europe to talk about what it is patrons need when they go to museums and about the life of museums. So at any rate, she's taken on this whole new venture with this new museum, which it's not a new museum, but it's a new building. We're also going to talk about the new building. It's in West Bend, Wisconsin, because also joining us in our studios is James Shields. He's associate professor at UWM's art, the whole department of architecture at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He was elected to the fellowship in the American Institute of Architects in 2010 for design excellence. He has a very active practice designing public buildings and has received many awards from the American Institute of Architects in Wisconsin. He worked on the Discovery World Museum on Milwaukee's lakefront, designed that, and he designed this new building. I would recommend you just Google it if you can, because you'll see pictures of this new building, or better yet, go to their grand opening, which is taking place this Saturday. So, both of you, welcome. Thank you so much. Looking forward to this.
Thanks for having us.
Lori. Lori's always got something new going. It's international. It's these fabulous exhibits that she's brought. And now you're doing something entirely new. So tell me how this came about.
Well, you have to keep things interesting. So.
You're absolutely right. You do.
For me to become the executive director was really a challenge I couldn't turn down. And for anybody who knows me, I like a good challenge. So this is an exciting opportunity to come in. I joined the Museum of Wisconsin Art in late November, and since that time we closed the old museum on the 6th Avenue location in West Bend, and we opened an entirely new one. We moved the art into the new building, installed it, and moved the staff in, and we're now at opening week, so we're pretty exciting. It's not just a new building, it's a transformation. The new building is spectacular, and it's a building for the art. And for people who care about museums, they care about Wisconsin art, they understand what that means. It's an incredibly functional, beautiful, serene environment. And I'm not just saying that because Jim is here. but it's a great venue for Wisconsin art.
And what will, just tell me what's inside at this moment and what will always be inside and what is yet to be inside.
Well, it's the history of Wisconsin art. We certainly believe in telling that story going back to the early 19th century and following that sort of evolution of Wisconsin art and celebrating some of the great names and the great works of art, including one of the anchor works for the institution, which is Carl Venmore's very large flagellants painting. And anyone who's been to the museum there will certainly remember that work. But we've also taken on a somewhat new emphasis, telling the story of, you know, sort of modern and contemporary art as well. And that's a new focus for us as we more fully embrace what's going on in Wisconsin today. So there are great art communities in Milwaukee and Madison and Door County and really throughout the state. But we hope that this new museum becomes a kind of petri dish for innovation and creativity, combining and sort of bringing together all the art communities and artists throughout the state. Mm. And I really want this, and I, you know, or certainly the staff and the board want this as well. We want the new museum to be a center for creativity and innovation, and what that means in the broadest sense.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you were given the assignment to design this art museum. At what time and how in the world does a person sit down and design an art museum?
Well, actually, I was hired by the museum a full 8 years ago to work on the project, and over the last 8 years we've looked at 8 or 9 different schemes for different pieces of property and different design directions, finally winding up on this beautiful site on the Milwaukee River on the east shore of the Milwaukee and right across the street from downtown West Bend, and on a triangular piece of property that really offered great opportunities for design, I think. The frontage on the river, and still it's set enough away from downtown that we didn't have to mimic the buildings of the downtown, for example, which are largely brick buildings. We were separate enough from the city to be able to do something new and bold, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So do you work through many, many different designs, and then you bring it to people and have to get approval, or did you go with the first thing that you designed? What was the process?
For example, on this current site where the building is finally built, I did 3 completely different designs for buildings and brought them to the building committee.
Really?
And I think we had some major donors on the building committee. And interestingly enough, they were all attracted to Scheme C. So
Scheme
so what you're looking at is really C. Scheme
C. That was really the name, Scheme C.
Yeah, very romantic.
Yes.
You know, just, but they were really attracted to Scheme C, which basically is a triangular building that fits the shape of the site, which was an acute triangle. The shape of the site was actually caused by the meandering of the Milwaukee River through the sort of Jeffersonian grid that covers the landscape. So only where a river meanders through will triangular sites be created.
Oh.
And so this is one of them, and right on the bank of the river. And we were able to mirror that with the shape of the building. I think one of the things that I was looking for personally was to find a building that really fit this site at the same time as it would fit the program that the museum had, the sort of needs that they had internal to the building. So when those 2 things can be solved at once, then you have a good building.
Mm-hmm. And you worked for many years in the fabulous Milwaukee Art Museum, which I thought must have been a great pleasure to go to every day. I love that building. When you say this is a fabulous building, that's high praise. And why do you say that, Lori?
It's, in my view, quite different from the Milwaukee Art Museum. The Calatrava edition of the Milwaukee Art Museum. It is on the exterior sort of white and grand and certainly impressive, so it shares those qualities. But it is a building that is, in some ways, I think, solid in a very positive sense. Serene. I often, when I'm giving tours, describe it as having a sort of zen-like quality. I think there's something like 5,500 square feet of light in the open public areas, or windows in the open public areas, that provide a brilliant illumination throughout the day. It is it's a quiet and contemplative space, mm-hmm. and it certainly doesn't upstage the art.
Mm.
It allows or creates a quiet presence for the display of the art, and it is. A very thoughtful, I think, building and site location. Mm-hmm. And then, on top of that, we have, incredible high-tech lighting, which serves to really highlight the work in the best possible way. The entire building has Wi-Fi and audio, and it's a kind of tech. The building itself is a kind of technological wonder. And all of that sort of is quietly in the background while the art always comes first.
Mm-hmm. And what about designing for an art museum? Do you have to take certain things? I would imagine you do. You have to be careful with use of light, of materials perhaps for preservation of art. Any of that special to designing an art museum?
Well, I think one of the big ones is that art museums are humidified buildings. And in the humid summer months of Wisconsin, they're dehumidified. Mm. So we have careful environmental controls for the galleries and for art storage that's trying to maintain about 50% relative humidity year-round. Mm. And most buildings don't do that. It's a rare building that is humidified and dehumidified in that way with very careful temperature controls. And I think one of the things you have to pay attention to then is having things like really good vapor barriers in the enclosure of the humidified area. The whole building isn't humidified at the museum. That is, offices and staff spaces and circulation spaces are not humidified, but just the galleries. But that's a big one. But also keeping direct daylight off of important works of art in the permanent collection. Those are things we have to pay a lot of attention to.
Was this a pleasure to get this assignment? Is it a thrill to be able to design an art museum? I would think as an architect it would just be something that would be great. You want me to design an art museum? Yeah.
Well, it is. And this says something about our culture, but I think 150 years ago, the highest calling for an architect would be to win a church or a cathedral. And that was the ultimate commission that one could receive. And today, in 2013, it's very clear in our profession that the highest calling that you could ever receive would be to do an art museum. So it shows where perhaps our priorities have gone in Milwaukee. And I think around 2000, I renovated Milwaukee's cathedral, actually. And if I recall, that same time, our city of Milwaukee was doing both an art museum and working on the cathedral. And it spent $10 million on the cathedral and $100 million on the art museum. So that really shows as a culture where our priorities have drifted in the last 150 years.
Yeah, it does. And I'm sure you, knowing you, Lori, you're going to have some extraordinary exhibits at this new museum as well. You just will. That's who you are.
Well, I hope so. We're already planning. I mean, as soon as I joined the museum in November, we started planning the program. I think a lot of museums make the mistake of getting the building, their new building, open. And they don't spend a lot of time thinking about the future programming that goes in the building and that connects the visitor to the building. Mm-hmm. And we're addressing that now. So as soon as I joined the museum in November, that was our topic of conversation. You know, how do we think about our relationship with the visitor? And we're, I think, pretty dramatically rethinking that as a consequence of some of the conversations that I've had in Vienna through the Art Consortium with a number of colleagues. So, you know, we're hoping to reframe what it means to be a visitor to the museum.
Well, what does that mean? What did you learn? We haven't had a chance to speak since you went to that event in Vienna. What did everybody come up with?
We interestingly spent a lot of time talking about the brain, which is now interesting following Obama's announcement about focusing on brain initiatives. So we spent a lot of time talking with brain experts, psychologists, neuroscientists, talking about how people actually learn, how they take in information, and when they reach a point of overload in a museum. And it's interestingly, you know, people tend to reach a point of sort of visual cultural overload after only about 20 minutes.
Really?
Which is remarkably short. So given that information, you think then about how a visitor moves through the space, what they take in, what are the priorities for them to see, and that changes the dynamic of the institution. So those are all things that we're taking into consideration. One of the other things that we discussed was the relationship to the to visitors and members in terms of their wallet. So in that respect, we've done away with admission. And we have only membership at the Museum of Wisconsin Art. So what does that mean? It means that if you're a first-time visitor to the museum, you walk in not to an admission desk but to a reception area, and you pull out your wallet only once to buy a ticket or a membership card for $12, which is less than a single-day admission at most other museums in Wisconsin. And that $12 membership allows you to come back more than 360 days a year, as often as you'd like. And the math is simple. If you're one person, it's $12. If you're two people, it's $24. And if you're family, it's $50. So we're keeping it simple. We want our relationship with the visitor not to be that of a guichet where we take your money and, you know, we're interested only in the in the present accumulation of dollars at the cash register, but we're interested in the long-term relationship with the visitor. So that's one way. And then we're also now focusing on building up our website so that we can communicate with people throughout the state. We realize that people from Madison might not have the same opportunities to drive to West Bend as people in nearby, you know, Milwaukee or Mequon or Brookfield. So we are figuring out ways to build a relationship through our website and through, you know, sort of internet communication.
Mm-hmm. What is the website?
The website is wisconsinart.org.
Wisconsinart.org.
Yeah.
Okay. The community of West Bend must be just tickled to have this new museum there. It's going to do wonderful things for the community of West Bend, isn't it? I'm sure you've heard some accolades, Jim.
Well, we had had an event last night for people who donated to the new museum and supported it. So we had a room full of West Benders last night, and we're getting feedback. And I think in working with West Bend building committees for the last 8 years, I was really impressed, first of all, how supportive they were of doing what I thought was a good piece of contemporary architecture. I had feared that I might go to West Bend and they'd make me do it colonial or something like that, which their old museum was actually, actually in an old building built for an insurance company. But they were really supportive. They wanted a good piece of architecture. And didn't demand that I do it colonial or half-timbered, which was made me very happy.
You got to do what you wanted to do.
I think so, although working very closely with museum staff and building committee members. It was a team effort to work through this whole project, really.
So the donors, you had a party with the donors. Many of them were seeing the inside for the first time. What kind of response did you get? How was the party?
It was a great party.
It was a great party.
And I think I think the general consensus was that there's definitely a wow factor. You know, last night was the culmination of nearly a decade of work, and so I want to thank my predecessor, for Tom Litke, for having the vision for the new museum, and thank the board for having you know, the kind of chutzpah to really support a major project like this. And just the community, the city that has rallied behind this major building. And I think last night, so it was a point of culmination. It's also a point of transformation, where the museum becomes a different museum. It has a new identity going forward. The building has created a platform for that new identity. And we've even changed the logo from MWA to MOA. You know, easier to say, somewhat more contemporary and fitting with this great contemporary building. So I think we have a very bright future, and it's an exciting time for me and for the staff to think about what the new museum is and should be.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how about for you, the guy who designed the building? What do people say to you?
Well, I think we've been receiving very positive feedback from members of the community. And I think that I think initially there might have been some fear over doing a contemporary building in West Bend, mm-hmm. but I think when people have had an opportunity to see it, and especially given the site that the museum was able to purchase, as I mentioned earlier, it's set apart from downtown across the river, right now on its own in a green field, as it were.
Nice.
And so it's able to have its own voice, to have its own distinct image. And I think it's exciting, again, that the people of West Bend seem to have really supported it and really with their wallets as well. This is not a publicly supported building. This was all private donations that built this building.
Let's welcome phone calls and emails and all of that. We're talking about the Museum of Wisconsin Art, which is opening to the public this weekend in West Bend, Wisconsin. And Lori Winters is executive director now of the Museum of Wisconsin Art. She's also the founder of the Art Consortium, which she put together an international arts think tank, and she's former director of exhibitions and put together some extraordinary exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Here's our phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email, you can always use that. We have a couple emails already, is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is... Oh, we'll put a picture on our Facebook page. I love Facebook. Let's put a picture of it. We can do that so that you can see what the museum, you know, the building of the museum. That would be fun. And that's the Kathleen Dent Show. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And our guest this hour, as we welcome your phone calls at 800-486-8655, Lori Winters, Executive Director of the Museum of Wisconsin Art. Her new job, James Shields, is also with us. And James is the architect for this brand new building. He's a design principal at HGA Architects and Associate Professor of Architecture at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He has an active practice designing public buildings and has received a number of design awards from the American Institute of Architects in Wisconsin, designer of the Discovery World Museum on Milwaukee's lakefront. He worked on renovation of the cathedral in downtown Milwaukee and has done a number of other buildings. And so, let's go to phone calls. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
All right, Jerry. How are you?
Yes, yeah. Another wonderful show you're doing. My question is simple. In planning a museum, was there any consideration given to a public transportation access from various outside communities, such as, you know, Mequon or Milwaukee or Brookfield, et cetera?
Lori?
Well, let me answer part of that, and then I'll turn it over to Jim because he may have some thoughts on that as well. I can say that the new location, in my view, is ideally located between the Interstate 45 and 43. So you can take either north, and then it sits directly on 33. And 33 is the interstate that cuts across east to west, across the state. So it is at a sort of, in my view, an ideal location for accessibility. It's easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
I think board members at one point were discussing they actually had a map of the population centers of Wisconsin, which are primarily Milwaukee, Madison, and the Fox cities. And they found that West Bend was almost equidistant between them and producing about a one-hour travel time for almost everyone in the state. So I think that was one thing that buoyed keeping this museum in West Bend. I don't think we have plans for opening any new mass transit systems. I think Lori's not a transit authority director, unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess. But one thing I would say is that one thing about this final piece of property that was purchased that was exciting to board members was the fact that it's on the back side of the building, almost touching the building, is an old, now disused rail line that is West Bend's most important bike trail.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bike trail and a running trail that runs right through the center of West Bend, and it basically touches the museum. So it'll be easy for kids and families during the warmer months to, at least who live in the West or near the West Bend area, to get on this bike trail and come right to the museum.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are also lakes and things around that area, so you can do sort of an outing. You can go for hikes in various places. You can swim in various lakes. You just need to plan a little outing to that part of the state.
Oh, we'd love
There's
to.
A lot to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the easy accessibility from, you know, various points throughout the state is an important consideration. As the museum has transformed over the last five decades, from 1961 when it was founded and primarily a city gallery, and it has now become an institution for the state of Wisconsin art. And so we really do feel that it's important that it have this kind of ideal location. And that we promote it as such and figure out how to help people get to the museum in West Bend.
Mm-hmm. Lori, don't you have a new development regarding school groups for the museum?
Well, part of this philosophy of greater accessibility is we've waived fees for school groups. I mean, why would you want to, in my view, charge a fee to school groups coming in? This is the culture of their state. It's so important for school groups to be able to have knowledge of this, to participate in it. It can be a transformative experience for a fourth grader or fifth
sure.
grader. We hear those stories all the time of successful adults in different professions who credit their experience or their success in life to a visit they made to a museum.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel it's important to make the museum as accessible as possible, and that's a top priority for me and the staff.
Yeah. Let's go next. Thanks, Jerry, for your call. Kim in Milwaukee. Hi, Kim.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have to say kudos to the designer that I'm sorry I forgot your name. Beautiful building. I take Highway 33 once a month, and I've been going by this building, and it's caught my eye. It is gorgeous and a compliment to the area. I used to live in Jackson and go to West Bend a lot for shopping and that. And it's an art in itself. I have to compliment you. It is a beautiful building, and it is going to compliment, and I cannot wait to go in there and see the art. At first, I thought it was a professional building, but I have to say thank you, and kudos. Bravo,
James,
bravo.
James
thank
Shields,
you.
His name is. Yeah. That was nice, James.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, right.
Yes, the next time you drive through on your once-a-month trip, you'll have to stop.
So. Yes, you will.
Thank you so much.
And we should spend a moment before we go back to calls to talk about the art that will be there. I know you're doing glass this weekend. Is there a certain area where we really shine Wisconsin artists in the art world, or are we in all different kinds of mediums?
Oh, well, I'm so impressed by the active communities of artists who are working in the state now. And we did make a deliberate decision to include a strong focus on digital art in the opening weeks. And so we have two works that are immediate, digital works that are installed immediately in the galleries as you walk in. And we wanted to be able to show that we're a kind of a different kind of museum. We also have done an exhibition called Anti-Fragile Contemporary Glass. And I'm excited about that because most people know that Wisconsin has a great history, mm-hmm. starting with Harvey Littleton's studio tradition in Madison. And the glass movement here has just been extraordinary. However, we've tended to think about it as the, quote, followers of Harvey Littleton. So we've taken a different look at that. We're looking at artists who work in contemporary glass today and who are doing unconventional things, who are treating glass more like sculpture, mm. or conceptual, who are doing conceptual pieces, or taking the styles and operational modes of Harvey Littleton and just taking them and really pushing the boundary. So I like to say sort of kiddingly that this isn't your grandmother's glass. This is really an unconventional look at the glass movement today in Wisconsin and how it is sort of breaking the boundaries between what glass is and what other mediums are.
Mm-hmm. And how do you decide? I'm interested in the process of how something gets into a museum. How do you select that?
Well, that's a good question.
You must know the answer because you got it there, right?
You know, I would say it's more of an accumulation of sort of understanding the context for Wisconsin art. Mm-hmm. I always like to say, you know, a great work of art when you see it. And I think there is a kind of general consensus. There might be differing opinions based on what a person likes or dislikes, but there's a common ground around a great work of art. It speaks to you on a number of different levels, and you just kind of have to listen for that, mm. and let your eyes train your eyes to And it's not something, I mean, you shouldn't feel embarrassed if you say, well, I don't know the difference between a Leonardo and a, you know, a Raphael. That's not the point. The point is really to develop a focus on the art and to appreciate it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, pardon my ignorance here, that there are digital works when you come in, what are digital works?
Digital installation, so projections, video projections, and we have a really interesting work by Tom Bamberger, which is the artist is Tom Bamberger, and it's 6,000 images that have, in many cases, been altered in some way. So they're photographs from history or works of images of great works of art from history. And he's juxtaposed them in really interesting ways. So he's created a narrative in some ways that is, he's asking individuals to construct narratives on the randomness of the images. And I think it works in a really interesting way as a kind of preamble to the museum, because it sets the visitor up for unexpected images as they walk through the museum.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds fascinating. Mm-hmm. And Jim, what's the experience of the man who designed the building to find it now filled with works of art? I mean, that must be something for you to walk in. You had the building, and now you've got all this art in the building. What did you think?
Well, I shouldn't actually admit that the first time Lori took me into the Contemporary Gallery, which is the first gallery you enter when you come into the permanent collection, I actually got pretty choked up and actually shed a tear there.
Did you really?
Not supposed to admit that, but to see to see finally the museum really taking shape, and someone like Lori and her staff that really cared about the quality of work that was there and had assembled a really stunningly beautiful contemporary gallery. So that was a big moment for me to see the building finally come to fruition.
Oh, and if you felt that way, imagine, because you would be the biggest critic in some ways, you'd want it to match your building. So that's high praise. Imagine what it'll be like for all of the audiences to come in and see it.
Well, I'm definitely not the sort of architect that thinks that an art museum should be a really aggressively strange work of art on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are two camps today. One that feels that the building should be the work of art, and I think the other camp in art museum design, to which I belong, feels that generally the building should be supporting the works and produce Lori talked about a quiet zen-like experience in which you can really focus on the work. I think that's my goal, and so I'm definitely not asking that the sculpture be painted white to match my building. No. That's not my thing.
But maybe down the road sometime they would know.
Well, if I get really good, yeah.
Yeah, if you get really good. That's funny. Thanks very much, Kim, for your call. An email from Mary: the new museum is stunning, and one of the best things is the T-shirt motto reflective of the design, the best wedgie in town.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, very, very funny. Very funny. It's a triangular building. It's a wedge shape, which is relating, of course, to Wisconsin cheese. No, it's not. But so there's a wonderful T-shirt.
We thought of wedgie in the other sense, actually.
Yes. No. That shows the wedge-shaped building and best wedgie in Wisconsin. So I guess I'm supposed to be pleased with that. I'm pretty sure my children, who will be going to the opening on Saturday, will both come away with wedgie T-shirts.
I'm sure they will. Steve in Bayfield County. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Kim. How are you today?
Fine. How are you, Steve?
Really good. I want to tell everybody that the Art Museum is wonderful in its old building, and I'm so excited about the new facility. It's going to be just fantastic. The old one was great, and the new one's going to be even greater. But I work for the Wisconsin Historical Society at one of our historic sites way up in northern Wisconsin, and I'll tell you, it is painful for us to be so dependent on admission revenue to keep our sites and museums operating, and it really hurts to have to charge school groups to come in. And so what I want to ask Lori about is how are you able to do that, to just charge that one-time admission by making people members and then sustain this fabulous new building and program you're going to have? Is it about donations and big donors and your endowment, or just how can you do that? Because you may be creating a wonderful model for the rest of us to follow.
I hope we are creating a wonderful model. The truth is that it's an experiment, but you kind of have to go with your with a gut instinct. And here's what I believe. And I know the board of the museum believes this too, is that if you can create a relationship, and I even like to call it a partnership with your visitors, they believe what you're doing. And they become familiar with how hard you're working. They become a kind of partner in the process of making the museum accessible and making it successful in a variety of ways. And I believe, and it's my absolute gut instinct, that when we're able to do that, we won't need to be dependent on the guichet model of hoping we have X number of visitors on a given day. I really think that once you build a relationship, they become partners in the organization, and the money will follow.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great. Got any job openings? I'm ready to come and work for you.
I do have a couple openings. Why don't you go to our website?
Sweet. I will. That's great.
Okay. Hey, we accomplished a lot today.
It's all about economic development.
That's right. Yeah, this is also sending out feelers for new employees. Well, I have a fantastic opening. I can't recommend the museum enough to folks in Wisconsin. I'm really excited for you guys.
Hey, come Saturday. Help us cut the ribbon.
Well, I'll be way up here in Bayfield County, so that'll be tricky for me to get down there. But thanks. I'll come and see you sometime this year.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And this model, and let's go back to that meeting that you had in Vienna. Is this a European model and a model of other museums in the world to do this membership or not?
No, it really just came out of our focus about visitors, our conversations about visitors, what's important to them. And the one thing that we, as a sort of a group of colleagues, kept talking about was how important it was for people to feel like they belong, to feel like they're part of something significant, mm-hmm. and that when they do, great things follow. And so once you start thinking about those things in the abstract, then the question is, well, okay, how do you apply them? How do you actually put them into practice? And so that's the model that really just emerged out of that. A fair number of museums in the U.S. have, and not a fair number, some museums in the U.S. Have done away with admission. So they offer free admission, like the Dallas Museum of Fine Arts or Baltimore. And in some cases, they're able to do that because they have very significant endowments that supports their annual operations. So that was actually something that was on the top of mind as well. Although in many cases, a free admission doesn't necessarily mean more visitors. Because people, even though it's free, people don't necessarily come unless they feel an involvement. Mm. So my goal is to just keep the focus on the involvement. What is the engagement? You know, I go to conference after conference where people talk about engagement mm-hmm. and how they really want to reach out to visitors. And yeah, but they don't do it. You know, it's easy kind of rhetoric. Mm-hmm. So at the Museum of Wisconsin Art, we just decided to do it. We're going to walk the talk. Mm-hmm. We're going to build engagement.
All right. More phone calls in a moment. Like to join us? Here's how you do it. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we're talking this hour about the museum, new museum. It's been around for a while, but it's a whole new building. And we're speaking with the architect of the new building and with the director of the Museum of Wisconsin Art, opening April 6th in West Bend, Wisconsin, at a beautiful site. And it sounds like it's an extraordinary building. And knowing Lori is the director, there will be wonderful exhibits as well. So join our conversation if you'd like. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This weekend marks the opening of the, do we call it MOA? MOA? Is that what you call it? MOA. All right, the MOA. And it's a pretty exciting event. It's the Museum of Wisconsin Art, new facility in West Bend, Wisconsin, and you should be there. We're talking with the architect and also with the new director and CEO of the museum this hour of the show. Email, sounds like an exciting venue to visit. The question to the museum staff, do you have a painting by David Lenz, a most significant Wisconsin artist, Diana Mawatosa writes.
Well, thank you for asking that. Yes, we do have a painting by David Lenz hanging in our modern and contemporary gallery. And in fact, we've been talking over the last month with David Lenz, and we haven't quite settled on a date, but I think about 2 years from now, we're going to be doing a major retrospective of his work.
Hmm.
So he's certainly one of the artists in Wisconsin who has gained, not only an important local reputation, but an important national reputation.
Hmm. Actually, one of the exciting things about the curation that Lori did here is that the Lenz painting in the Contemporary Gallery is situated right next to the Tom Utek painting. Mm. And as I understand it, Utek was David Lenz's teacher or faculty. So you're able to stand there and look at the technique of faculty and student. Mm. Of course, Lenz has become a great artist in his own right, but it's still interesting to see these connections in the gallery.
Yeah, I was interested in the connections that both of you have in times past and in what's going on right now. And I'm wondering if it's unusual as an architect to work on something like a cathedral that's very old and yet to build a contemporary museum of art or discovery world. It would seem to me as though have an era of specialization and you'd have to learn certain building techniques that would be specific to one era or another. But you seem to move comfortably in both.
Actually, I've made that a goal of my career. I think I think our field has been moving towards specialization, where someone might do slaughterhouses and only do that for a living, as grim as that sounds.
But it does sound pretty grim.
let's say libraries is a much better thing. But I think, and they will frequently then travel the country or perhaps their region of the country doing that sort of building in communities all over. And I think right around the time when my first son was born, I had an opportunity to do that with religious architecture, just be an itinerant traveler, a carpetbagger, as it were. And I imagined myself being in the Des Moines airport at my son's third birthday, and I said, no, that's not for me. And I looked at an older model. For example, Milwaukee had an architect like Edward Townsend Mix at the period of the Civil War. And Mix did everything. He did the Masonic Temple. He did churches. He did office buildings, hotels, houses. Hmm. It didn't matter. He could do a good job of it. And I said, that's a role for me.
Oh.
So really, my professional model was to be in my hometown, and this is my hometown, and to try to practice here and do as many sort of building types as I could in my hometown. And I've been able to make that work, and for me it's been a really rewarding sort of professional route.
I'm so glad to hear it's your hometown. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Lori, the same is true for you. You know about so many periods of art more than I've been on tours with you, and you're phenomenal. And now you're doing, it would appear to be more contemporary, although there will be all kinds of art, but contemporary. You seem to be walking easily in that world as you would be in Chinese art or in Leonardo da Vinci. How do you do that?
In some ways, I think it gives you an advantage because you can come to different periods or different types of art with, let's just say, a kind of naive freshness. And sometimes that freshness helps you see things in a different way. And I often like to say that was especially true of the Biedermeier exhibition that I did at the Milwaukee Art Museum, in that here was this young, blonde, female American, whom my European colleagues like to call an upstart, because I was, taking on what is clearly a very entrenched view of what Biedermeier was, and we managed to redefine Biedermeier through that exhibition, sort of changed thinking going forward on what Biedermeier was and is. So I think sometimes it's actually a good thing.
Good to be a young upstart, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's nothing. That's true. It is a good thing. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling to see if there are any works by two artists who live in the Palmyra, Wisconsin area. Karen Wyken, W-I-K-E-N, and Tom Rauschke, R-A-U-S-C-H-K-E.
With those particular works, at this time, we don't have either of them on view in the permanent collection gallery, but we do have a really strong collection of works in storage. And I mention this because we've done something unusual in the new building. Actually, it was my predecessor and Jim who did something extraordinary, and that is that we've created visible storage. We are the first art museum in the state of Wisconsin to have visible storage. It is located between our exhibition space and our permanent collection galleries, and it is literally a storage area of glass walls so that you can come to, with the artworks hanging on racks, so you can come to the museum and you can actually see the works in storage.
Huh.
Most museums hide their storage in basements, the bowels of their institution, and here we have it front and center. And we've done that because we believe, and my predecessor certainly believed, that what goes on behind the scenes is sometimes as interesting as what you see in the permanent collection. People love the sense of knowing what it took to put together an exhibition or to see what is actually going on behind the scenes. So we have this incredible visible storage area where you can come and, you know, watch the racks as they change, and certainly we'll change them every couple of days so people will be able to see something different each time. What I think Jim has done with the building, and we haven't talked about it, is as you go through the building, it's open and transparent. So even into the offices, into the archives area, into the visible storage, there are glass windows everywhere. So you can see the operations of the building going on. And this is just fortuitous, but it just fits with my philosophy of what a museum should be, and that's open and transparent in its operations, in its financials. And so Jim's vision for a beautiful building just has a perfect fit with how I think we should function.
And I think that storage is the best example of that transparency. It I was certain that Lori would be cursing me when she came into the building and saw that, because of course in most museums the storage space is just a mess, you know.
Right.
And I was there last night, and it's very obvious that Lori and her staff have carefully curated the visible storage. It's exquisite. Stacked
Aww.
Paintings 15, 16 foot high. So a rack will hold like 20 canvases. So you can see 60, 70 canvases at a time and go around the back of the storage as well. So it must have been difficult because it looks really curated.
I'm so glad you think that.
Yes, right.
That's a great idea. I mean, who would you think of it? You do put storage away. You put it away. And now there it is. That's a really good idea. We're almost out of time. Let's talk about this weekend for just a moment. You really have the official opening on Saturday.
Official opening is Saturday starting at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Ribbon cutting at 11. And then Sunday we have our first family day in the new building, and that's from 10 to 5.
Okay, and give us a website again, Lori.
WisconsinArt.org. It's all about Wisconsin art.
Okay.
WisconsinArt.org, and we're located at 205 Veterans Avenue in West Bend.
Okay.
And it's easy to get to.
And we haven't said anything. We have a couple seconds to do this about how delighted Wisconsin artists must be to have this kind of facility that honors their work.
The reports so far have been outstanding. People see the vision sort of going forward. Artists see the vision. They see the opportunity. And, you know, it's our job now to live up to that vision.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much. Can't wait to see it. And you're just delightful, both of you. Thank you for your
Thank you.
Visions.
Thank you.
and being open and transparent. That's a good thing. Lori Winters. Lori has joined us on many occasions. She was with the Milwaukee Art Museum as director of exhibitions for a long time, and we always loved what she brought us, and I will love what she brings us to the new museum, which opens on Saturday, the Museum of Wisconsin Art. And James Shields with us in our studios as well, who's a design principal at HGA Architects and associate professor of architecture at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, known for their architecture school, and he designed this building. So that was fun, wasn't it? I want to thank Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and Katie Madsen for on-air production here in our studios in lovely downtown Milwaukee. And let you know that Lori brought up the brain. We are going to talk about mapping the brain during 1 hour of tomorrow's programs. And then the first hour, what's going on in North Korea? Every day it's something new. Now the workers aren't allowed to work at the place that was sort of a demilitarized zone, South Korean workers. So we'll talk about that country that remains an enigma the first hour of tomorrow's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Great conversations ahead.